Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Paul Tonko, let me ask you something. A congressman is always looking for increased commerce business within their own area. There was an announcement of a new lab at GE. Much was made of it. What is it all about?
Well, there are specific niches within the technology innovation economy that provide a specialty zone. And when the Department of Energy had made determinations with the President and the Secretary of Energy to commit to these sophisticated, very laser-sharp bits of focus in our innovation economy, they came up with strategies for various elements that take you to the head of the, they put you in the head of the curve, the technology curve. And those specifics or those specialty zones have been part of an investment made by the federal government. We had applied as a capital region, capital district region, several months ago. It was a very fierce competition. I thought we had a super application. You know, I was hearing from the Department of Energy that it was a very well-structured application. Well, it appears as though we narrowly lost out in that effort. And so what's been done was taking that partnership and have it speak to now a state program that will advance that sort of specialization in our innovation economy. We have great strength with GE in the area, with nanoscience in the area, with institutions like Albany State and RPI and Union. All of these efforts, even Clarkson was involved in that at earlier application. So when we put this together, we're speaking to that innovation economy, and we're putting together the investments that will draw in private sector partnership. That public-private partnership allows us to have a niche in the market. This is what they've been working on through the Department of Energy specialty areas that are being set up throughout the country. I think we'll qualify in the future for some very good grants. This
federal
one was
grants.
Put together.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Federal grants with requirements for state investment, host state investments, and with private sector investment. But I think what we'll see is the strength of this region to be further brought to attention of people not only in the country but around the world. This area, Alan, is turning into one of the hottest beds of real estate in the country. This hub of Capital Region has had tremendous job growth in the clean energy, high-tech, innovation economy area. And it's drawing the attention of many, including the president, who has traveled here for many trips, because it is a good way to showcase his vision by having that vision tethered into several programs here that train the workforce, make the investments in the physical infrastructure, and really take us to that new competitive edge. It's part of a package that we've also introduced in the House on Make It in America, where we try to train that cutting-edge workforce that needs to have the specific high-tech skills and also invest in those innovation concepts with incubators and startup companies that are high-tech in nature. This seems to be the axis of job growth in our region. And the news of a lab, state-driven, that will mimic what was being done in the NMI application through the Department of Energy. It's a new phase of manufacturing, advanced manufacturing, that plays on the strengths of this region. And for years, we have seen investments made by GE and by NanoScience now, by Global and their commitment to the region, and the private or the public sector with forces like Hudson Valley Community College and our other community colleges in the area that work in that workforce training development. It's a sound package that really allows us to be involved in what is now a global race on clean energy technology and innovation.
Now, is the price, Paul Tonko, too high? In other words, we get a chip manufacturer from Austin, we'd make a better deal for them. We read in the paper that some of our largest corporations, I believe GE, doesn't pay taxes because they take advantage of all these incentives that we give them. Is this right?
Well, you know, there's no denying that there were very hefty investments made for a number of these anchors. But as the anchors landed here, I think the number of spinoffs that have come into the region or have given birth to in the region will continue to grow the soundness of that investment. It's unfortunate that that's the international economic sweepstakes today, defined by who can lure you in with their commitment of dollars. But hopefully we'll be able to grow from that the intermediate zone of startups, entrepreneurs, incubators, innovator types that will grow product discoveries that aren't yet on the radar screen.
Well, I hear you, Paul. But on the other hand, it's always a matter of balance, right? I mean,
right.
We have to decide, are we going to pay our teachers the way we ought to? Are we going to build schools the way we ought to? Or are we going to put money into luring business in?
Right. Well, there's no denying that our tax situation needs reform. It needs revisiting. And one of the measures of justice would be to close corporate loopholes that are costing us a lot of denial for domestic investment.
Is there any indication among the Republicans in your House that they'd go along with such an idea of really changing the tax structure?
The actions of late have been to provide for tax extenders that really keep these loopholes open and cut programs that we need here for our domestic agenda for all demographics of income, household income. So, you know, the if you judge it by the actions of the majority, it doesn't look promising. And that's why I think you need thinking that has sound balance to it, public-private partnerships, and not advancing this situation where you just let the free markets rule and they'll be fine. You look at what other nations are doing. There's a commitment with public-private sector, but it's about advancing the needs of the worker, and it's investing in research, which I think is the incredible component now. And you do that by having fair and just tax reform.
Talk to me about really quickly about the oil trains which are coming through Albany. A lot of people are very worried that these are going to collapse, that we're going to have leaks, and that there's going to be a chaos.
Well, the shipment by 111s, which is a certain type of rail car, is apparently unacceptable and challenged by many who have tested these and done the aftermath of several of the spills or dangerous explosions that we've had like that in Quebec. It appears as though the effort now is by the Canadian government and the U.S. government to deny the 111s as a form of shipment. They're looking at, I think, 1232s. I think that's the replacement model. I have written to the Department of Transportation via the Secretary, Secretary Fox, with whom I've met twice face-to-face about this issue. And we're hoping that they'll review the situation, push for fair transport, great training of workforce, frontline workers who are emergency response teams and healthcare workers. But I think it begs a bigger question. Where are we going with our energy policy? And why are we still so gluttonously dependent upon fossil-based fuels like Bakken crude?
In 45 seconds, can we really make a dent in this? Everybody talks about the future more, you know, solar voltaic and all the rest. Can we really do this?
I think if our will is there, we can easily do it. It requires accepting science and have science speak to us and not deny those facts.
Paul Tonko, love having you here.
Thank you. It's my
always,
pleasure.
It's great to see a very distinguished congressman. You are terrific. We'll see you the next time.